Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Solo grazie niente che resete. Elevlambre che nese la mando che deste. Even as there was a point, even before the institution of the fullness of everything that I was to bring in the new nature in my disciples, that I told them, said this to them as I say it unto you. Henceforth, I call you no more servants, but I call you friend. For the friend is higher than the servant, in that he knows the secret desires of his Lord and Master. So know this, I call you friend. You call me Lord, but I call you friend. For I desire to lavish on you in these days, in the inner sanctums of your spirit, all that you'll need for the days presently at hand. I desire to become to you everything that you desire that I would be unto you, and to speak plainly to you, to speak to you concerning the questions of your heart and the questions of your mind and to the very inner workings of your soul at times that have been troubled against the hour in which you live. Know this, that in that place of friendship, that there's nothing left undone. There's nothing left unacquainted with by my Spirit. And know that the fruit of that is perfect peace. My love that casts out all fear, saith the Spirit of grace. Oh, what triumph! Oh, what victory! Oh, what bliss! And oh, what joy! Oh, what wonderful fellowship and hospitality one towards another, saith the Spirit of grace. For he that is healed all, and he that is healed is every whit whole on the inside. Therefore, there is no searching for that which is of a necessity. For your sufficiency is of me, saith the Spirit of grace. Find that sufficiency and know that it will lavish that love on all of the other parts of the body. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hear what the word of the Lord would say. For over not one, but many of your homes has been trouble in the night. Know this, that I'm breathing upon your homes. The trouble is going away, saith the Spirit of grace. There will be rest in the middle of the night. There will be a refreshing that comes in the morning, saith the Spirit of grace. The devils that have come to fight you in the midnight hour, to wake you up or to keep you restless. Know this, that I'm breathing upon all those that receive this by faith now. My glory will be seen in my house and among my people, and you will testify there is something different. Come to my home, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah! Behold, come. Let us reason together. Let us reason together, saith the Spirit of grace. What think ye? Do you think the ones that you've committed unto me, the ones that are in that inner sanctum of your life, the close ones of your children and the closest that you're standing for in this life, brother, sister, mother, father, those of your household, what reason ye? What think ye? Do you think that it's possible to commit them unto me against the day of their salvation, and then for somehow it to work out, that somehow I lose them and they spend eternity in judgment? Know this, to all those who've lifted up loved ones, put them before me and walked away, Know this of a certainty. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for these to perish out of my hands, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, you have this certainty that if you commit them unto me and give that faith unto me that I need, know that no matter what you see in this life, you will run into them in the gates of glory, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Solo God has said. Look, ever grateful for those days. For one will come from the east and one from the west. When you sit down in your Father's kingdom to eat of that supper, and you'll look across and say, How did you get here? How, when you were such a torrent on this earth? And then the story will come. Something that you didn't know on this earth. How that I worked to work behind the scenes. Many will be in the last closing hours. Many will be right before those closing days of their life or before the trumpet sounds. But know this, one by one they'll tell their story, and you will shine with the brightness of your Father in that city, knowing that I provided through my own counsel the way to get every single one of them there, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, right now, all of them are committed up to you. Not one of them will go to hell. The ones that aren't represented here this morning, I thank you, Father. They're represented around your throne. And we just hold them up there and lavish them with the love of God. And call them all born again. Brought into the kingdom of God. Those that are on the edges and have backslid, Jesus, not one of them. We call them all. Hallelujah, Jesus. Every single one of them. Hallelujah. And somebody said, well, I'm so glad. See, this is where we can lift them up, walk away. Sometimes people relinquish their faith. This is why we know they'll get there, because He has them in His hands. Sometimes people they're fooled, and so they don't keep that same level of faith up and worship Him. This past week, another one of the great, great songwriters and leaders, if I told you, God, don't say that. Because I sang some of his songs. He come out and said, I'm gay and I'm leaving my wife and I'm going into gay churches to preach. I mean, every one of you knew him. Now listen, if you take the doctrine that, okay, hey, my kids, they got saved when they were kids. But they're out in the world. Listen, don't take that doctrine. It's not in the Word. What happens to a man like that who was born again, Spirit-filled? People stand in the gap. He'll make heaven. But you know why he'll make heaven? Not because he once had a born-again experience. The Bible just plainly says, there's some things you can argue over, but it says the effeminate, the homosexual, the deviant, will not receive eternal life. He'll not inherit eternal life. Just no. You couldn't die in that situation continually practicing that, unrepented, and still make heaven. The Word plainly says that. So a lot of our friends and our family that were once born again gets years out there and they stay out there and the light that's in them dies. It dies. But you know what? I am certain that before they die, They'll, even if they had to have a deathbed repentance, all of my loved ones that I'm standing for, they will be born again. Again, if necessary. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Woo. Huh. Thank you, Father. Glory. We worship you. Understatement again. There's just something about that name. Hallelujah. I think you want to go around and hug a bunch of people and tell them how glad you are to see them this morning. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Would you just lift those hands? Magnify you. That is the place we desire, is to be right there in your hands, Lord. The life that I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved me, gave Himself for me. It is Christ in me both to will and to do His good pleasure. Glory to God. Now you think about that deal. It's Christ in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. He doesn't say, I want you to do my good pleasure, and leaves you holding the bag. He puts the will in you to follow Him. Glory be to God. If you yield to Him just in faith and say, I don't want to, but I want to want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. But I want to want to. You give Him the authority to put His will in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's get ready to receive this morning. Let's go to John, the book of John, chapter 13. Let's look at that closing supper. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Stretch your faith this way, Father. How we adore you. And we just love Him who you've sent. The firstborn, and then He sent the Holy Spirit. And we love. It's all right for us to speak to you, Holy Spirit. We just love you so much. Appreciate your ministry. You're so beautiful. What a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You were there when David sang of the Lord that is my shepherd. You were that anointing that rested upon him when there was no fear in him to pursue the giant. You were once surrounding, but now you're inside. What a beautiful concourse of faith and love that you've given to every saint. And Father, we thank you that we get a chance this morning to eat this bread, drink this cup in the kingdom. And we thank you for this new commandment that you've given to us to love one another. We receive your grace now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's look. Chapter 13, verse 1. This is the setting of the Lord's Supper. And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments, took the towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answereth him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Hallelujah. He said, I'm giving you an example. I'm giving you an example. And he said to Peter, he said, What I do, Peter, you don't know now, but you'll know after. In other words, he was saying, Peter, you don't even have the capacity to receive the revelation of this right now. Peter, you don't know what I'm doing, because even though you can see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears, you don't have the capacity to love that this example is setting forth. You don't have that capacity. It's not in you. But afterwards, you'll receive it. Afterwards, you'll know. This will be a living memorial, an example. It'll dawn on you and you'll say, Aha! I know now what he was trying to set into example. Listen, the warm and fuzzy feeling that was going on in that upper room, it wasn't necessarily between those guys. They were right up to that point fighting one another. Right up to the Last Supper, fighting one another concerning who would be greatest in the kingdom. The warm and fuzzy that they were feeling, and the tears that began to flow from their eyes, was because they were all interconnected to one, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. But He was promising them this: what you cannot receive now, you will be able to receive later. Because I've given you this example. If I've washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet. What was He saying? What was He doing? I can walk by a church, in a church service, and I can smile at you because I know it's the right thing to do. And let me tell you, not slapping somebody and holding it in, even though it's there, is a lot better. It's a lot better than having a, well, I'm just a person that tells them like I see it. Let me tell you something. James said, and he was talking about teaching, but nevertheless, this is a fruit of it. The tongue sets on fire a world of iniquity. What you said it, even though you say, I'm sorry, you said it. And it can be healed, but you cannot continue to say it and expect an open wound to continue to be healed. Well, I'm just a straightforward person, and I just speak. Listen, the word Proverbs said, He that controlleth His Spirit is mightier than he that taketh a city. Even when you're frustrated, I need to let it out. Well, what you're telling me, you're not praying. Because you've got a vent to let all that out on Jesus. And when you have to let it out on somebody else, you're not praying. Well, I've prayed. Pray some more. Pray until when you talk, there's no quiver in your voice. And the heart rate. If they had a heart monitor on you, it would not go up. Well, I'm not that dead. Well, that's what we're preaching about. That's what we... Boy, you're a fast learner. You preaching at us? No, I'm preaching at... Yes, us. Us. Listen, if he's going to beat on me all week, you're taking some of these lashes too. I'm not going into these seeking times and be the only one that's whipped on. My wife knows, but she will never tell. Right, precious? I beg of you. We thought you were perfect. The way you teach sometimes. You ever see? No, you don't. The supermodel? She just looks so great. He just looks so great. There's a point in their morning, they've got dragon breath. And without that makeup, and without all the glitter and the gleam, you're like, oh God! If you saw them at that point, and they said, oh, good morning, and all that, you'd say, oh my God. All that a preacher does, if he's smart, he gets all that taken care of behind closed doors. And then he comes out like he just... That's the way he always is. You know, I knew that all the time. Now I'm letting you in behind the scenes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way you got to act on those kind of issues. It's the way we handle those. You die. You die in the prayer closet. What you're doing is you're putting your makeup on. You're brushing your teeth so that when you go out in public, you set the example and you live the example. But guess what? If you do that enough times, truly, truly, things begin to change, deep things. And then you get to a place where if you do hurt somebody, it's only by accident, because there's no kinds of... vindictive, like I really want to leave something there to sting them with. The other part, the accidental stuff, I'm working on that. But I can sleep real good right now, because the former's is just not there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Skipping across the page. I love you, Jesus. Don't we love Him? Verse 31. He says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway glorify Him. Little children, Homer's going to teach on that. Yet a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, you cannot come. Now he's going to tell Peter in a moment, you will follow me. Somebody said, well, he's talking about he's going to die. Yes, he is. But what he's strictly talking about this when he says, you Jews, you can't follow me. Because Jesus is about to do something that no other man is qualified to do. The reason why Buddha, Hare Krishna, Muhammad cannot save you is that they were born a sinner themselves. You cannot take a man from a spiritually dead gene pool. You cannot take a man who is spiritually dead on the inside and make him a savior. This man, Jesus, was free from sin himself. He's the only man qualified to go into hell and to be resurrected. Why? Because he himself is sinless. And he's saying, look, you can't follow me. Well, no, we can't die. Somebody says, well, no, he's going to die. A lot of people have followed people in death. Soldiers have gone into battle knowing the odds. They know we're not coming out of this alive. I'm going to follow you in death. They followed each other in death. The moment they would die, they'd be someplace together. Most of them. But what Jesus was talking about, you can't come where I'm going because you can't perform what I can do, what I'm about to do. I'm the single light of the world, and I'm the only one that can cause man to be born again. You Jews can't follow me. You disciples can't follow me because I have a life within me that is the life of God, and I'm the only one qualified to go into that place and to die, to be buried and resurrected on your behalf. He said this in verse 35, verse 34, and a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, John, 1 John, if you've read that, and most of you have many times, John repeats. John was so close to Jesus, you can see how he just repeated so much of what Jesus said when he called them little children, when he said, a new commandment I give you. When Jesus said, a new commandment I give you that you should love one another, this was not new in the earth. God said from the very beginning, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. That was from the very beginning. The newness of this was that no one could keep it. And it had never been introduced to a group of people that had the capacity to keep it. Meaning, I, as a born-again believer, when I step into Christ, this is a new commandment, because this commandment transitioned from the old, from people that only saw it from a legalistic standpoint and said, okay, God says that, but I can't do it. Now it's in Christ. Now this commandment is new in Him, and it's new in me. I can keep the commandment. I can love you. I can love you against all odds. Against all qualifications. Your love doesn't have to be qualified. That's how the world does things. If he treats me right, if she treats me right, I can love him. We're not talking about that kind of love. He said this, verse 35, by this, what? The love, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And if ye love one another. Hallelujah. Now, he could have said anything. And a lot of people, unsuspecting, would have just gobbled it up. But he couldn't say anything but the truth. He could have said this, by the power that you demonstrate on the world, and by the miracles that are taking place in your ministry, your personal life, or in the church, by the power that you possess, all men will know that you are my disciples. And we would think, that's a pretty good link. God, strong, power, His power in us makes sense. Evidently, we must be His followers if He can put His power on us. He didn't say that. He didn't say that power, revival, workings of miracles. He said one thing and one thing alone. By your love, one to another, shall all men know that you are born again, Spirit-filled, walkers and talkers and doers of my word. You are my disciplined disciples. Hallelujah. And I want to talk the word with you. Glory to God, me too. But if you want to take the word, and if you get so messed up in what you want to tell me that you want to hit me with the word, you have nullified your position in the Word. Because the Word says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples by your what? By your love. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What's the strongest trademark we have? By His love. Glory. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm sorry. 11. 14 just seems to be something that always crops up, doesn't it? Hallelujah. He says this, verse 23. This is Paul writing. For I have received of the Lord. Now look at this. Paul said, how many of you know, real quick, Paul was not one of the original 12. We don't have an account, although it's very possible that he was a contemporary, that he did see Jesus. It's very possible. We don't have the account that he ever saw him, but he was throughout Judea at the time. So it's very, very possible that he saw him in the mix. But he was not a disciple. Paul doesn't say, I got this from one of the other disciples, that John taught me this. He says, what I'm about to tell you, Jesus... Now, Jesus was gone when Paul was converted. He got born again after Jesus ascended. So what he's saying is, the Holy Spirit has come to me and represented Jesus and revealed the revelation knowledge that I'm telling you. And Jesus has come and said verbatim these things that I'm saying to you. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat it and drink it, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. He said this was given to him of the Lord. This understanding of that first supper. And he gives the account of the Lord taking the elements and giving them to His disciples. And He begins to share to the body, to the Corinthian church, and begins to say these things. For this cause, for what cause? The cause that I'm citing now. The cause that many do not discern the Lord's body. And because of it, there was certain diseases and ailments, and this kink in the back, and that hurt in the side, and that ear ache there, and that problem here, and that problem there. And he said, look, if you would discern the Lord's body, there'd be no condemnation on you. And He said to that church, look, because He cited earlier in that chapter that there was strife and envy and all kinds of things that the enemy was stirring up. Understand this. When Jesus cited what He said in John chapter 13, He said that. He said, this is to you. He was speaking to His disciples. That the lesson that He was giving them was to them. It was not to the world. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples. By the love that ye have one towards another. Not the love that you... Yes, we have to love the world. But He was saying that the love that the brethren have one for another. This would be the thing that would excite the world to say Jesus is a fact in you. Why? Because you judged yourself and you said, whatever it is in me that has a hard time not loving my brother, I desire that the Holy Spirit continue to work on me steadfast to the point that the Christ that is presented in the Word of God presents Himself in full force inside my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Another one. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things. Now, if you've got your Bible open, does it say above all things? Does it? Thank you. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6? Remember what Pastor Jim was preaching to us when he talked about the shield of faith? He said above, meaning it was a priority part of our weaponry, the shield of faith. Now, Peter, apart from Paul, says something here concerning the love of God. And he says above all, meaning this is priority. If you want to walk in victory, this is above all. Get this part. Hallelujah. Get this part. He says, hallelujah. What verse am I? Of 8. Above all things, have fervent. Everybody say fervent. Fervent charity. You know what the word charity is, of course. What is it? It's the word love. The agape love. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins. Hallelujah. It's not talking about here in context that God's love to you. I know I've been born again. His love, 1 John says, has washed my... I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. I've been forgiven. I know His love has covered my sins. What this is talking about here. He said to you and to me, above all things, have the fervent charity of God. The love of God walking or working inside of you. Why? Because this love covers a multitude of sins. What do you mean covered? The word means to cover up. In the Greek, it means to cover up. Now let me pick on somebody. Terry, you're close. And because this one's easy, because she doesn't have any faults, I can pick on you. Terry, thanks. She just gave me permission. Terry, your faults, what am I to do with them? Because we're one family. See, in all of this, in all of these things, the love that He said that men would know you by, well, I just love the world. No. Don't take it out of context. It's the love you have one towards another in the body. That is, if you want to talk word, it was specifically how much we loved one another. No, we're supposed to love the world. Yes, I know that. That proceeds from it. But specifically, He said, you disciples, how much you disciples love one another, that's how the world will know that you are My disciples. There's a distinguishing there. Even in Paul, when he said, this I've received of the Lord, he said the judgment was not because how much you love the world. Well, I can love that old sinner, but I have a hard time with the people in the church. Well, friend, you've got it backwards. You've got it backwards. That's not doctrine. Doctrine is it's how much you love them in the church first. That's where you'll be judged by first. And how much you can keep it straight between me and you, then that proceeds from us to the world. My charity is the solvent. It's the jelly between the bread. It's what covers your faults. It's what causes us. It is the toleration, if you want to say it that way. It's the toleration towards me of what you see about me that is not yet perfected. See, the part of me that you see that's not yet perfected, that's not Christ. That's not Christ. And the part of you and me that sees something that says, I was picking on Terry. I'm sorry, Sharon. You're faultless too, so I'll pick on you too. Sharon, I don't like this about you. Do you realize that when I'm looking at Sharon, and even though I see her fault, and it starts getting my peace, and I get frustrated over the fault that she has, now who in Christ's eyes is justified? Well, I see your fault, Sharon. And another thing too, when I'm condemning Sharon for her fault, that frustration inside of me isn't the witness of the Lord. It isn't the discerning of God. It is the part of my flesh that is still fueled. And when something is, Sharon, I don't like what I. No, Sharon, you're wonderful. When I'm seeing that, and it's taken my peace, that's not Christ. That's the undead parts of my flesh. And if that is the undead parts of my flesh, then what I'm seeing with has to be questioned if I'm really seeing it in the light by which it exists. Because if I'm not in peace and your fault is causing my peace to be disrupted, then how can I guarantee myself that what I'm seeing is a reality or in the way that Christ looks at each one of us? Glory be to God. Well, why do you say that? Because this scripture brings that out when he says these words here. He said, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch into prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity covereth the multitude of sins. Use this charity, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Meaning this, I can, Medea, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. When she was giving instruction to the lady that was going to take a frying pan and knock her abusive husband out, which I thought it was proper
counseling. She said, you say to him, good morning, with a smile. Now, you can come into church and say, good morning. And that's proper. I would rather you do that than to cuss and to say something with your tongue. Well, I just needed to let it out. Sometimes it's better to just clear the air. No, it's not better to clear the air. That is a world of fire, James talks about, that gets going and you cannot reel. It takes time to reel it in. Go pray until you say, okay, I can put a heart monitor on myself and my breath won't go up. My hands won't get shaky when I say this. I can say it in peace. Glory be to God. That disqualifies all of us, Lord. That makes us all have to sit at home and pray, doesn't it? Well, I'm God's hatchet man. I want you to lop your own leg off. Reuben? Where's Reuben? People were talking about you last week, but I stood up for you, brother. Candy's going, ooh. Not grudgingly, meaning, okay, there is a place that you can get to. You got there? Oh, I'm aspiring. I'm loving this word. Because he's been beating on, he doesn't beat on us. He spanks us. But I got blisters up and down my legs. You say that to help us. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. I get to look at the uglies in my life when I go into these things. And I thought, you know, you're doing so good. And then you go into them, you say, oh God, I am undone. I don't know if I'm worthy to be a preacher. And I'm not saying that to say, oh God, where do I stand? No, I'm serious. You think you're a hot commodity until he puts the light on and says, what's that, big boy? You say, can we talk about something else? Let's just go to something else. No. You want revival? What's making you a little mad? Well, it's righteous indignation, God. No, boy. It's your flesh. Oh, God. No, God. It's righteous indignation. I look at this situation and I can judge it. Has it made you turn over in bed 3 or 4 times? Yes, sir. Do you think I'd make you get up in the middle of the night and turn around in bed and think about it a whole lot? No, sir. It's flesh, boy. It's your sufficiency. You better get that thing cut off. I can't bring revival till you bring it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Aren't you glad to be in my prayer closet with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not grudgingly. It's one thing to say, good morning. Good morning. And to say, you know what? At least I've come to this. I'm not going to cause a scene. And I'm not going to talk about you behind your back. And I'm going to trust God that when somebody says, how's that situation? You know, you can say not say a word, but your face can tell a million words. How's that thing going? Not saying nothing. Just not saying anything. Oh, it's that bad, huh? Well, what do I do, Pastor? Pray like no get out. That your face doesn't reflect it. That your words don't reflect it. That you're covering a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if we did all that, we'd probably have to be like hermits. I'm developing my turtle shell now. I'm trying to get up in there all I can. Just can't get that back part over the head yet. Jesus. Hallelujah. Last one, Deuteronomy chapter 25. Well, Pastor, what if I'm having a tough time with somebody specifically in the body? Well, we've all been there. We're either coming or going. But here's your application card to help. Verse 1 of 25. Of course, if we'd have read there in 1 Peter 2, it says the same thing that Isaiah 53:5 says, that He was wounded for our transgression and He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace rests on Him, and with His stripes. Peter says we were healed. Isaiah says we are healed. Now this, it says, concerning a controversy between two men. They come unto the judgment, that the judges may judge them. Then they shall be justified. They justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if any man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number, 40 stripes. He may give him and not exceed, lest he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes. Then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. He's talking about, of course, as we've addressed this before in the past, a judgment in the old that typified the new, because the one that's speaking here is Jesus. No man can do this. We don't have these acts of intercession among us today. But one time in the past, this man Jesus bowed his knee to the Father and laid his back open to refute all controversy. Where? To the world? Jesus said in that same prayer to His disciples, I pray not for the world. We said, doesn't Jesus want the world to be saved? Yes. But His acquisition to the disciples at that point was, I'm giving you this. You're going to spread it. It has to come to rest on you first. I'm giving you this, and this new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. Deuteronomy gave us the example that if two men be caught in a controversy, they're ready to kill each other. Moses judged him. The guilty one was to be beaten with a certain number of stripes. It explains it's the end of all controversy. Meaning this, once this done, I don't want you two guys fighting about it. I don't want your families fighting about it. I don't want no more innuendos. I don't want no more struggle. I want peace in the camp. Peace in the camp. Now, you can't mandate that in a church. You can't legislate that in a church. You can't make people love one another. Here's the beauty of it all. Jesus bore in His body our infirmities, our fights, our fusses, our controversies, everything that we need to get along with each other that we might receive revival. Hallelujah. When it says, by His stripes we are healed, the physical healing is only one aspect to that. All the emotional healing that we need to discern one another and to love one another is available in those stripes. Glory be to God. We are a family. The kingdom of God, it boils down to one thing. We are a family. Every revelation has to boil down to one thing. How does this reflect in the light of a family? A family. I want you to imagine that upper room setting. There was a family atmosphere there, even though they were unable at that time to love one another. But what they were feeling was His love for them. And they knew at some point in the inner sanctums of their spirit, they would be eventually connected to each other and would give their lives one for another. They were loving Him but could not love each other, but they were so distressed to see Him go. 11 years ago, August, I came here. Many of you went over and moved me here. And I've lived here for these 11 and a half years. Prior to that, the old house was probably 3-4. We would come 2 and 3 times a week. So I say that it's been 15 years maybe that I've been your pastor and you've flocked here. You've been a part of all this together. If I was to stand up today because I love you and you love me, which just is not about to happen, but you've got to catch the atmosphere. My daughters have grown up in this church. Davy was just a little thing. Amber was a little thing too when we started coming over here. I've seen many of you get saved, filled with the Spirit. I've been a part of baptizing your babies or dedicating your babies. I've seen many of you ladies way before almost all these kids, at least the little ones now, they weren't here when we first started coming. I've seen big-bellied ladies, beautiful, through the years. We've buried the dead here, young and old. Several. Young and old. We love each other as a family. If I stood up this morning and said, God's called me to another place, there'd be a sadness. But how much more to them that had been with this man and they were reaccounting all that they had seen in 3.5 years of their life, the multitudes and the crusades and these men's families were someplace. They were sitting in Jerusalem in an upper room. But their families were scattered out in other cities, some of them maybe 100 miles, 200 miles away. And they'd given their life. They had not forsaken their kids never to go back to them. They had seen them as often as they could in between crusades and in between villages. And now they're here in this place, in this upper room, and this man is telling them, I'm going away. And he said, because I've said this, sadness has filled your heart. Nevertheless, John tells us, Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if I go away, I'll come again, that I may receive you into my own. Folks, we're a family. We are a family. And we have to love. We don't have to. It cannot be mandated. We've been given His stripes, that we walk in love. Glory to God. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for that place in you. I thank you for every one of these, my brothers and my sisters. All of them that have come to eat of your bread and drink of your cup. And our love one to another. Jesus. That very union, the very union that was there present that day. Only you can duplicate that in our life in 2008.
Jesus. Would you just close your eyes? I want you to see yourself in that upper room. And I want you to see Him saying to you, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." The Word could not tell us everything that went on that evening. It does say that Jesus said unto them, "Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart." John had a death grip on Jesus. His face was buried into his chest. And every single one of them took their turn holding him because he was saying goodbye. And I am sure that tears were filling their hearts, minds, they're streaming down their face. And he was saying to them, "Look, what you're feeling here tonight, you can't perform. But hereafter, you will be able to perform." Jesus, we're living in that hour. I love you, Jesus. I long since have lost a music to a song that I remember. The setting describes Jesus speaking to His disciples and describing the very event by which He was teaching them His love, His example. The song was called "The First Farewell." Jesus was speaking to them. He began to say, "Let go of my hand. I'll be back again and save your tears till then. Believe that I will win. I can see it in your eyes, the fear you feel inside. You still do not know why, just why that I must die today. And soon it will be clear just why I have to go. The victory is near. Let prophecy unfold today. No need for all these tears. My brothers, all is well. You see, it's not the end. It's just the first farewell." And he said these things to them, "This bread, it is my body. And this wine, it is my blood. When night falls, I will leave here. Just remember what I've said and what I've done. 'Cause soon it will be clear just why I have to go. The victory is near. Let prophecy unfold today. No need for all these tears. My brothers, all is well. You see, it's not the end. It's just the first farewell. Jesus, because you've taught us these things, we receive this grace now to love one another and to receive this. And if there is anything in our hearts, then it has been given to us by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His shed blood to deliver us out of these things into light, from all darkness into light. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on. The Word says that when they had taken the first communion, that they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. These are self-judging. I ask you to come, and there is no membership here except the membership that you yourself present when you come. So there is no closed communion here. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's just this simple. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Do I have to join this church? No. Do I have to be part of a certain church? No. Jesus is the one that saved you. All you have to do is ask Him, and He will save you. And then you partake. When you come here this morning, hopefully you'll just join a family, because you're all family. When you take the cup, when you take the bread and take the cup, just let His love wash over you. This is where revival lives. Father, we bless it now. Would you receive these things and tarry one for another, then you'll be free to go. Would you all stand, please?